Okay.
Well, we had a great weekend. It was a lot of fun. It was relaxing, and even the rain was quite. I was very surprised at how cold that rain was. It left me cold to the bone until I got home in my own bed. So I don't know if you know it, but Sydney called us to worship for half an hour early because I told him I had a long message. I get to finish at the regular time, right?
Yes.
Okay. How many people here have a hometown, a place you consider your hometown?
We're living in it.
You have a hometown? So a lot of people don't. You know, they're raised in the military, their parents in the military or whatever. They got no hometown. I wasn't raised in the military, but I never felt like I had a hometown myself because we moved 18 months. It was the longest period I was ever in the same school.
Wow. Oh, my
God. Until sixth grade. So we moved, I don't know, a dozen times before I was made to sixth grade.
Wow.
Seventh grade. And then I was in the same place. But by then, you know, I've never considered it. The town is called East Bridgewater. There were like 10,000 people in there, which in Massachusetts is a small town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I never fit in. All the cliques, all the friendships were already made.
Yeah.
And I never felt like East Bridgewater was my hometown.
Wow.
At about the age of 21, I finally moved out of my parents' house and I moved to a city called Brockton, just 5 miles down the street from where my family home was. And at first I moved there because that's where you go when you leave home because you can't afford anything else. Mm-hmm. It was not a destination, you know?
Right.
I actually grew to really like Brockton. Yeah. I really liked it because of things like, it didn't matter where in the city you were, there were all kinds of people around you. There were people who were not like me in any way, immigrants, there were people from Asia and from Europe, and from a little island off of Africa. There were a whole bunch of people from a place called Cape Verde. And there were a lot of Haitians. But it was so cool because this city, it's not a big, well, it's small land-wise. It's like 20 square miles for a city of 100,000 people. But there weren't any sections of town. Like you go into Boston and, you know, you got Little Italy, and you got South Boston for the Irish, and you know it was just all broken up.
Huh.
But in Brockton, there was only one little enclave that called the Lithuanian Village, where there were about 10 families that had emigrated from Lithuania in the 30s, and they just never moved out of that area.
Hmm.
But the rest of the city was all different people living together. When Zoomer and I first moved there, there was across the street from us, there was a guy who was a millionaire. Mm-hmm. And he was driving a little Mitsubishi.
Oh, that's not good to say.
That was, you know, that car.
Mitsubishi?
But he was a millionaire. He created the first website for an NFL team.
Oh,
wow.
He was, you know, it was cool. But I lived there from 21 until I became a disciple in 1984. I was 26. And then I moved around a lot, me and my brothers and roommates, you know. We moved wherever the ministry needed us to be. The church was trying to build small groups. They called them house churches. And we'd go from one house church to then we'd go and start another one. The group I was in, the Bible Talk, the even smaller group, we actually were part of the first house church in the movement down
down in Rhode Island, we were about halfway between Boston and Rhode Island, and the whole church was meeting in Boston every Wednesday night, and they decided, let's try these small groups. And so we went to Rhode Island every Wednesday, and at first, oh man, I liked the big thing, but then I fell in love with the small group. And I think that I would never want to be always in this big church, you know? It was cool. I mean, I remember when we started meeting at the Boston Garden. Ooh, that was something. But these the small groups, that's the heart of the church.
Amen.
So we went along, and Zoom and I started dating in 93. And then we got married in 95, and I tried to convince her to move to Brockton. Mm-hmm. And Brockton, you might guess, had quite the reputation. Crime, corruption, poverty. It was probably 50% immigrant, which is a huge number.
Yeah.
And it was not a place people wanted to be. Finally, it took about a year, but I convinced her to give it a test. So we rented a house. Our landlord in Boston actually had a house in Brockton that he was getting ready to rent. And so we gave it a try, and when we got there, it was so beautiful. Someone says, I didn't know Brockton looked like this. I says, well, we're not in the center of town. But we stayed there, and it didn't take but a year for Zuma to say, we could buy a house here. We could buy a house here. This is really kind of nice. So we bought this house, and it became one of the centers of the ministry. I mean, it couldn't be the center, because Brockton had 50 or 60 disciples. We had a lot of disciples come and share in our home, and it was wonderful. But you think about that, and just a few years before Zuma and I started dating, the brother who was leading the church in that area, he had family issues that required him to move to Montana. And I asked this other brother who was leading the singles in the area, so what do you think, you're going to get the job here and to lead Brockton? And he says, what? Brockton is the armpit of the church.
Oh!
And I wanted to reach out and text someone.
Bad way.
It really elicited a response from me. I was squeezing that podium. But yeah, I wasn't offended just for me.
Right.
No, I was offended for 50 brothers and sisters in Brockton. And I was offended because of the great work that God was doing in Brockton.
Yeah,
and it was really, really offensive. But that is how Brockton was looked at by outsiders especially. It took me a minute to get over that. And I love him, and that's fine.
Amen.
But it was a really, really difficult thing.
Mm.
And you probably have an idea where I might be going with this. But before we go there, let's pray.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for giving us a mission. Thank you for bringing us to this great city. Father, I know, I have no doubt that you love this city of Jackson.
Yeah.
You love it just as much as you did Brockton. And you do, Brockton. And you want to perform the same kind of great work in Jackson that I saw you do in Brockton.
Amen.
I know that this city is looked down upon. It's not a destination for anybody. And most of the church here, Father, came here through circumstances that they weren't looking forward to. But I also know that you brought us here for a reason, that you have collected us together show your love, to express your love to this great city.
That's right.
Please be with us now with this message and deliver us your word as you'd have it seen or heard. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I want to start by reading Jeremiah 29.
Come on,
I'm going to read 4 through 14.
Amen.
This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Mm. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of that city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Other translations are more accurate when they say, pray for the welfare of that city. And your welfare too will follow with it. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying false lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. When I read that first verse in the beginning there, I kind of thought of it like this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles I have sent into exile from various cities and towns to Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, that's right.
If God were to write a letter to the church here in Jackson, how much different would it be from what he wrote to the exiles all over the Babylonian Empire? Mm-hmm. This letter wasn't only for the people in the city of Babylon. They were in small groups all over the empire. Mm-hmm. And he said, I sent you there, and you may feel like exiles, but I sent you there for my purposes.
Amen.
There were a lot of reasons we can read about in the scripture about why God sent them there. One of them, to me, I suspect that Israel had become comfortable, mm-hmm. content, mm-hmm. that they were just living, they were having less influence on the world than the world was having on them. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, when God called them out of Egypt, he told them that you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, Exodus 19:6. And that has been God's purpose from the beginning, calling Abraham and said, you will be a blessing to the whole world. Mm-hmm. You know, when he brought Israel out, you are going to teach the world what it means to worship a holy God. And that was his plan for them. That's why he brought that. It's been said that Israel at that day and time was considered the crossroads of the world. Mm-hmm. All international commerce went through Israel. It was right there. That's where he brought them. Do you know what Jackson is called?
What?
Jackson is called the center of the South because of the railroads and the rivers that all come right here through Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it had, in its glory days, it was a prosperous city, and it was a city that companies had to do business with.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that from some things like the name of the airport. Look at Jackson, it's an international airport. It was laid out with a vision. I think that God would have the same kind of a letter to us.
Amen. Uh-huh.
You know, we're in a place that nobody wants to be. I even meet people from Jackson who can't have a good word to say about this city.
Mm-hmm.
But God is not going to put up with that. God does not have that kind of view of the city.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want to read here.
Come on.
From this, Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 1, 20 and through 25. We should be able to say this along with Paul. I think I better back up a little bit before I do read it, though. Maybe you feel like you were exiled to Jackson, but the truth is that all of us, we're disciples of the Lord Jesus. We are sons of the living God,
mm-hmm.
and we are citizens of heaven.
Amen.
Yep.
We are all, wherever you are on the earth, if you're a disciple of Christ, you are an exile. You are not and cannot be at home on this planet.
Mm.
You won't be home until you're with the Lord.
Mm.
Until then, it's a letter to exiles. But we need to be able to say with Paul what he says here in Philippians. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. This is the attitude that a disciple of Jesus needs to have. You're not home here. You're not here so that you can make a lot of money. You're not here so that you can have a beautiful home. You are here because God called you here with a purpose. And like he said to the Jews in Babylon, he told them, yeah, when my time has come, when I'm ready, I will call you back.
Mm-hmm.
I will bring you to the place I promised. But for you guys, it's going to be 70 years. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know how long I'm supposed to be here. But while I'm here, it will mean fruitful labor.
Amen.
Amen.
So, what we have is just a mission. It's not changed. And God always wants us to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Because the world needs us as their example. We, together, the letter was written to the church, to the Jews as a group.
Right.
But it was also intended as a directive for life for each individual to follow.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same today. There's a couple of verses I'd like to go to that tell us what the Lord's plan is or how he thought of it.
Uh-huh.
Go to Acts, if you would, Acts chapter 2. And verse 42, I think, yes. 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their possessions to give to anyone who had need. They each day continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, talking about in Jerusalem. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Mm-hmm. Now if you would go over to chapter 5, looking at verse 12, 12 through 14. And the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colony. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What is that telling us? That why is that in the scriptures? This kind of life, this devotion to God, His Word, and His people results in glory to God.
Yep.
Those numbers, you know, in chapter 4, it says that they had grown to 5,000 people. And now in chapter 5, it's just more and more. And it's because of the life they lived, the heart they had, the love for Jesus, the appreciation and gratefulness they had, and the love they had for one another. And that is our calling as well. If we are sent here to Jackson, we're here for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to God through loving Him and loving His people.
Mm-hmm.
This is the greatest attraction. You know, was it Bonham and Bailey, the greatest show on earth? No. The greatest show on earth is God's people living God's plan.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
There is no better ticket right. to be found.
Amen.
You know what? I wrote down here that you know, you didn't just decide here to move here for some nebulous reason. You could have been brought here because your family needed you to be here. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were brought here because you couldn't afford to live somewhere else, or somebody else was kind of your attraction to here. Whatever the reason you were here, in your mind, you need to know this. You need to know that whatever actions and circumstances resulted in you, a child of God, living in Jackson, I can assure you that He brought us all together for one overarching purpose. The love He has for this city,
yeah.
He intends to express it through you.
Amen.
He intends to express it through you. Mm. And He has gathered the church here, just us few people. How many people were there in Jerusalem when the Lord started His church? 120. And that was after 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we are embarking on a year for building.
Amen.
And that we're building. We're not building for ourselves. We intend to make 2023 a year to build God's church, a year to build love amongst us and all those who will come in. It is a time that we're going to make an incredible difference. I believe that I can make a great difference in this city.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that I can impact the poor in this city.
Amen.
And so can you.
Come on.
You something about Brockton that made it so open to the gospel was rampant unemployment, people who didn't know other people who were afraid because of the crime. You know, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? This city is perfectly balanced for God's mercy and love, for God's Son to come in and turn it upside down. And that's what we're, I'm going to do it. Are you going to do it? I hope. Come with me. We're going to have a great ride, and we're going to see God do amazing things. So I believe it, and I believe God even gave us a plan for it. It's right here in this letter. There's a couple of, if we, then he, okay? If we increase and do not decrease in the city of Jackson, we need, how do we do it? We need to rekindle our own fire for God. Praying every day. Get on your knees and pray every day. And reading the scriptures. It's not natural. Especially when the first few years you're a disciple. Man, it's exciting. And I can't help but pray. And oh, what was that you were saying? I'm sorry, I was praying. But it's not natural, and eventually we start to have to deal with our natural selves. And we have to go against that nature. We need to build a love for the lost. We need to rekindle that love that was so great in the beginning of the movement that most of us remember. We need to build our homes here, not just our houses. We need to build our families here, not just our jobs. We need to build our lives here. We need to be ready, if it's God's will, to live here all our lives. Those people who read that letter or who heard that letter probably weren't around when God came and delivered them 70 years later. They probably weren't. We need to be prepared to make Jackson our home as long as God calls us to be here. Second, we need to seek the welfare of this city. And if you're in Bynum, I always...
Byram.
I always mispronounce that city. If you're in Byram, seek the welfare of that city. But you got to know that the welfare of any place around here is attached to the welfare of Jackson. You know, make your home and pray for Jackson's leadership. That, you know what, Zoomer and I for years now, we have been praying for corruption to be exposed in Atlanta, in Marietta, in the United States. We now pray for it to be exposed in Jackson. We pray for our leaders. And you know what? We don't even pray for them to have to pay for it, for their crimes. We only pray that they repent. You know, because we're not here to do battle with people.
Right.
We have another enemy. But we need to really pray for the welfare of the city. And don't believe those negative prophets. Don't believe those prophets who say, yeah, you'll be out of here just 2 more minutes. Just 2 more years and you'll have enough money. You can move out. Just wait for God.
Amen.
Be here.
That's right.
Be here wholeheartedly for God.
Amen.
There's, you know, that these false prophets, they tell us that there's no hope. It's too much crime. Look at all the abandoned buildings. But those are all possibilities, opportunities.
Amen.
Don't be distracted by the negative view. This is our city. We own it, and we are going to make it better. Then he also says that you need to seek him with all your heart. You want to find joy in Jackson or wherever it is you are exiled to? Seek him with all your heart, and he promises that you will be found by him. And How do we do that? How do we seek him with all our heart? Yeah, we know we need the scriptures, and we know we need to pray. We know after yesterday that we need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe we need discipleship. Not completely the way it used to be, but we need discipleship. We need to love one another enough to be in each other's lives.
Amen. Yep.
I think we all need to pick a couple of brothers or a couple of sisters to be discipleship partners, prayer partners, whatever you want to call them. It's a partnership, though. It's not a one over the other. Ask somebody who you admire, who you think you'd like to be more like, would you help me out? Would you be a discipleship partner to me? And then look, who could I help? Who could I make a difference for? And be partners with them. You know, pray on the phone 2 or 3 times every day even.
Mm-hmm.
Meet together from time to time, even every week. It's not hard. We just have to have priorities.
Yep.
But I think we really, really need one another in order to do God's will here.
That's right.
We can't do it alone. So, you know, those are just 4 simple things that God calls us to do. He says, increase and do not decrease.
Yep.
I want Jackson to grow and seek the welfare of the city. Don't let all these negative words come out of your mouth. Love the city and hope and expect the best. And don't allow the negativity that is all around us to influence how we feel about Jackson and what we will do in Jackson. And then seek God. Had to find the right side of the page. And there's a lot of things that can go, I could keep saying here, and if you want, I'll give you these notes. But that's if we. So if we, God will watch over us,
mm-hmm.
as a group, as individuals. That's, he promised it right here in the scriptures. If mm-hmm. you do it, I will watch over you. I will. I won't leave you to fend for yourselves. I won't leave you to stagnate.
Amen.
If you try to grow this city, I'll bring the increase.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to make it do our part. And then he will fulfill his good word to you. He will fulfill his word to you.
Mm-hmm.
He won't answer all your promises. God is not some kind of cosmic bellhop. I heard somebody say that once, and I'll never forget it. God is not a cosmic bellhop. We're not here. He's not here to give us our every wish. He's here to make us like Jesus. He's got us here. I should say, he's everywhere. We're here that we can serve him, and that we'll find joy and peace in that. And he says that he will plan for our future. For our future as a church. He is the leader of the church, isn't he? Is it his spirit that's guiding us? Is it his spirit that lives in each one of us?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. And he has plans. He has plans, and he will fulfill them. And if you don't come along, you don't come along. But he has plans, and he will fulfill them. And he will restore you. He will restore your dreams. If you gave up dreams, you know, when I was a young disciple, for the first 10 years probably, I wanted nothing more than to be a missionary. I didn't care about making money. I didn't even want anything. I just wanted to be. I wanted to be selected. One of those people that went out. I don't know, South Africa, India. It didn't matter to me. I just wanted to go with a group of fired up disciples and make disciples.
Yes.
But it never did happen until a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, I remember your dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered my dream. And I'm here because he did.
Amen.
And he's got dreams for
Amen.
He's got your dreams. They might not end up the way that you thought they were. For Jackson's not a foreign country.
Right. Well,
I had to learn to speak Southern, but I'm the best. You know, it couldn't have been anything better, honestly.
Yeah.
For me to come here and be church with you, it's a dream. And he's got dreams for you, and whether it's a new one or another your old one. He's got something that is great in store for you. And he will bring you to the place that he promised.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
What is that place? We don't talk about it much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as we're on this earth, we are aliens and strangers.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
We have one place that he's promised to bring us. We're going to go to heaven. He will bring us to heaven as long as we keep his word. As long as we do those if-we's.
Yep.
No, right there, if we.
I
don't know, it sounds maybe like Wi-Fi, but if we. And I just want to share a couple of scriptures with you before I go. You can put them in your notes. I'm probably out of time. I have no idea. But a couple of scriptures for you to understand how God feels about this great city. One is Jonah chapter 4, the whole chapter, 1 through 11. Read that and give yourself time to contemplate it and think, what is God's heart for Jackson? Could it be any different? Jackson isn't anywhere near as vile as Nineveh. And then Luke 13:34. It was amazing to me throughout this weekend. Any scripture that I have read here today was mentioned either in the lessons or the discussions. I thought about just coming up here and saying amen, and that's that. It's already been said. But I've spent too much time working on this, so you had to sit through it. So I really challenge you to check your heart. What is your heart for this great city that God has brought us to? You gotta be exiled. You might as well be in a great city.
Amen. That's right.
Thank you very much.
Amen.